Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
October 1st, 1962 is a day I'll always remember. I was 36 years old, taking my place as host of America's most popular late-night program, The Tonight Show.
From New York, The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. Johnny's guests tonight are Joan Crawford, Rudy Vallee, Tony Bennett, Mel Brooks, the Phoenix Singers, Skitch Anderson with the NBC Orchestra, and me, I'm Ed McMahon. Right now, let's welcome the fellow you waited 6 months to see.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This is kind of an emotional thing for me because I've known about this show for a long time. And the newspapers and the magazines, and I've probably been interviewed 150 times in the last 9 months since I've known about this. As I say, you work up to it. We come over here this afternoon. We meet the guests that are on the show. And you get kind of charged up. I don't mean to be maudlin about it. But I know that tonight a lot of people, a lot of my friends are watching all over the country. And I only have one feeling as I stand here knowing that so many people are watching. I want my Nana.
Well, I made it through that first night with the help of Groucho Marx, Rudy Vallee, Joan Crawford, Tony Bennett, and Mel Brooks. I could never have imagined I would walk through that curtain almost 5,000 times in 30 years.
And now, here's Johnny!
It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our number for calls and texts, and glad you can join us on this Saturday night. So Johnny Carson's final Tonight Show aired on May 22nd, 1992, 25 years ago. And on stage with him was legendary band leader and trumpeter, the great Doc Severinsen. And who better to kick off our show tonight is the man himself, who's turning 90 this July, and that's Doc Severinsen. Doc, welcome in, my friend.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. It's nice to be anywhere when you're 90.
I bet.
I'm not 90 yet.
But you're getting there, and congratulations on that as well, sir.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I tell you, thrilled to have you join us, and it's unbelievable to me, Doc, and you must think about this too, that this is 25 years ago that Johnny, Ed, and you were last on stage together. I cannot believe it was that long ago.
Well, if you want to know the truth, to me, it seems like it was a couple of weeks ago or maybe yesterday. I don't know.
You began with NBC really much longer before The Tonight Show. I mean, it was over a decade. It was like 1949. How did the gig come about with NBC that you got your first contract?
Well, let's see. It was the Kate Smith Show, which was one of their staples in the beginning, and she was on five afternoons a week.
Wow.
At 4 o'clock. And so the show had been on a year or so, and they wanted to make a change in the band, and I was invited to come and be the first trumpet player on the show. And so I did it, and it was just the equivalent of doing a local show at that time, because the network really only consisted of the five O&O stations, you know, like yeah. Chicago, New York, L.A., so on and so forth.
Sure.
And it became apparent that television was really going to be here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started adding stations. I noticed that when Steve Allen came and did The Tonight Show. It was a local show in New York. And they
bizarre.
Called it something else, probably Open House or something. And Steve Allen took over the show. And I can remember as clear as like it was yesterday. Well, welcome to the show tonight, folks. And guess what? We got station whatever, in Schenectady, New York, is joining the NBC family.
Wow.
And every night they added, and I was sitting there in the band watching a network be born.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like. I mean, you were there for all of that. That's amazing to me.
Yes, and then I was there one summer when I'd usually have a vacation time. I was kept on staff because we were doing experimental shows for color.
Wow.
There was no color TV, and we did some incredible shows that never saw the light of day. I mean, and the whole purpose was, a lot of singing and dancing and colorful things to look at.
And that was just, and why was it being just tested? Why didn't this stuff ever make the air, or why wasn't it saved and put out later?
I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah. It's sure clear in my mind.
Yeah, that it was there to stay. And you joined, the Tonight Show band with Skitch Henderson as the first trumpet chair. Were you on the very first show with Johnny?
I had to stop and think a moment there. Yes, I was.
Wow. So you were always there from the beginning, but it was 5 years later. Skitch decided to leave the show. Was there a reason that he decided to step down? Was it enough for him? Did he just do, just exactly what he wanted to do and he was ready for a change?
He had other things he wanted to do.
Gotcha.
And so he did them, and Johnny, everyone thought I was going to be the heir apparent, and as it turned out, a wonderful gentleman by the name of Milton Deluc took over the band. And Milton was just a beautiful guy and a damn good musician and had experience on a Broadway open house. And after about a year of that, I was on a tour with Johnny doing a weekend in Baltimore, and the producer of the show came up to me and said, "Hey, Johnny wants you to come back and take over the show. He misses having you there." And however he put it,
yeah.
And I saw was just getting ready to say, "Well, I'm pretty busy. I got a lot of dates." I said, "Yes, of course I'll be there." And I had no idea what that was going to be like, really.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too, about that. I'm sure Johnny noticed, that there was some good chemistry between the two of you. Because, it was so obvious on the show that it's not, for a job like that, it's not just being a great band leader. It's about having...
You got it.
Yeah.
Johnny, what is Johnny's favorite... people in show business was Jack Benny. He liked the way Jack Benny did his show, where he had Phil Harris was the band leader. Yeah. You knew he was the band leader. He even had Frankie Remley, the guitar player, as part of the cast of characters.
Yeah.
And, of course, Don Wilson was the announcer. And so Johnny wanted a show where he could have other people and spread it around a little bit and not put so much pressure on himself and wear it out in 5 minutes.
No, totally.
So that was, I never for 1 minute thought, I'm here leading the band for the Tonight Show because Johnny thinks I'm the best leader around. It never occurred to me. I knew why I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you look back at these shows now, and they're all over antenna TV. And I was a kid, I'll be honest with you. I was born in 67. So I missed that first part, but I've gotten to see so many shows I've never seen before. And, as a kid, different perspective watching these things. Now I'm watching them every night. And, everyone who was anyone in the world of pop culture, music, news, entertainment, sports, politics was on that show. It is a virtual history lesson to watch any of those shows, the musical performances, the comedy, whatever it was, when you watch these shows every night.
You're so right. It is a history lesson, but it isn't a history lesson about show business or television. Mm-mm, mm-mm. it's a history lesson about America.
Yeah, very true. Very true. You are totally right.
You know what's interesting right now to me is the fact that, you know, there's Donald Trump's caused a lot of reaction.
Sure.
And maybe it's deservedly so, but if Johnny Carson had decided to run for president,
oh yeah,
he would have been elected.
Oh, yes, he would have. Oh, yes, he would have. He was, oh, absolutely. Everybody wanted a piece of Johnny.
I mean, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Would we have been any worse off?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. We might be laughing a little bit more at some of this. No, you're totally right. But everybody back then, Doc, wanted a piece of all you guys. But Johnny, you know, he was hosting the Oscars for years. I mean, everybody wanted him involved in something. And
and it wasn't a case where he came, they had the first year went good, so they said, oh, man, we have him back next year. I mean,
yeah,
he was there for several years, you know, until I think he decided, well, I've had enough of this.
Sure.
He never was a person who wanted to wear out his welcome.
Right.
As great as it was.
No, and you know what? I think he noticed that a lot while he was hosting the show, that there were some guys that stuck it out too long, the Bob Hopes,
yeah,
and stuff.
He, I don't know. I've heard him verbalize that very thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was no surprise to me when Johnny decided. I was surprised that he stayed the full 30 years.
Yeah.
I really was. And then I guess he found out he wasn't going to get a gold watch. He said, well, I'm the hell out of here.
Exactly. And he stayed out of the, I mean, he did some, you know, he made an appearance on NBC maybe a little bit after that. He did some Letterman shows on CBS, you know, just kind of made a little sweeping in and out. But, you know, he was done at that point.
Well, yeah. And I know that every day they were being offered shows. Just come do anything you want to do. You can have a place in our network. And Johnny just said, nope.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And that sort of a Midwest stubborn streak.
Yeah.
Mr. Randy Rawbone got up and said, nope, he ain't doing that.
He isn't doing that. You know, I, in watching these shows over the years, Doc, and looking back at them now, you know, there was so many times that you were playing, obviously, and leading the band, but there were so many times that you sat in for Ed and sat, you know, next to Johnny during the show. Is that something you enjoyed? Did you kind of always long for going back and really being with the band? Did you enjoy having those moments with Johnny?
Well, the first day that I filled in for Ed, it was sort of like I came to work expecting to be the band leader.
Yeah.
And producer, I think it was Rudy Tellez, if I'm not mistaken, said, oh, no, you're taking over for Ed tonight. I said, no, you ought to be kidding. With a voice like mine, I'm going to be saying, here's Johnny. I said, I don't think so. He said, well, you better figure out what the hell you're going to do, because you're doing it, and you're doing it tonight.
Wow.
And
trial under fire. There you go. Trial by fire.
I thought I had a case of nerves when I took over the band. And it was nothing compared to being the announcer, because I knew from the beginning, okay, I'm going to be doing this whenever Ed is gone. And I thought, Johnny is thinking, what would it be like if the band leader boy did the great, you know, Carsoni?
Yeah, right.
It was like she just waited and pounced on me with it.
You know what, though? Those were some of the best. I mean, you guys had great conversations when he would look to his left and come out of the curtain and just talk to you during the monologue or whatever it was. And by the way, always wanted to see what you were wearing. That was always the highlight. Even as a kid, I was like, what does this man have on today? Because you had some cool stuff, man.
Well, one night I remember I thought, you know, every night I'm coming out in a wild outfit or something that's supposed to be a little different, and I'm tired of that. Jesus, I can't shop enough. I said, I'm just going to put on a regular suit. So I wore a blue suit and a regular tie. And when the show was over, Johnny walked into his dressing room, and as I'm told by the producer, he said, well, what in the hell was with that blue suit that Doc had on tonight? For God's sake, what is that? And the next night or the next afternoon when I came to work, the producer said, no more blue suits.
That's great. That's great. When I met you last year, we were walking through the Carson exhibit, and we had one of your wild outfits in a showcase. And this was fabulous. We walked over to it together, and you looked at it, and you kind of stared at it for a little bit. And you put your hand on your chin, and you just looked at it for really silence for about 2 minutes. And you turned to me, and you said, I wondered where the suit went. which was so much fun. But that was, you know, you had quite a flair for fashion over the years. And again, you know, the conversations you and Johnny had. And of course, my favorite was when the topic of Thanksgiving came up.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you helped Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There used to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her
track.
Stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, now, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
Which wife are we on?
On various Thanksgivings. No, we're going to...
In fact, that was one of the things we really fought about.
What?
Did you? I wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
You mean you used to argue about what you're going to stuff the turkey with?
Yes.
And that was one of the problems.
She's still stuffing the turkey, but not with money.
Well, it's nice to know you have no bitterness.
Well, I always used to say, you know, I mean, you can have turkey and all that. I don't like turkey that much.
Yeah.
I said, I love lasagna. She calls up every year at Thanksgiving and says, are you having your lasagna?
They don't forget, do they?
No. I suppose you'll be home with the family having turkey. Just a typical American family.
That's right. If you really feel badly now, I feel so terrible that you're going to be alone.
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You can come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked me.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you, when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving dinner? What am I going to say? No. You know what I say? I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I love it.
Can you come?
No.
And now I hear you're going to be in Chicago twice over the next month, next weekend to accept an honorary degree along with Chicago's own Terry Hemmert from WXRT. You'll be in town at Elmhurst College. How cool is that?
Down at Elmhurst, yes. Well, I've been asked a few times to accept an honorary doctorate in different places, and I always felt like, no, that's something you go to school, you work very hard, and you prove that you're worthy of having the title doctor. Mm-hmm. And my father being a doctor made it apparent to me from the very beginning that you don't just go out and have somebody start calling you doctor or doctors. You know, I mean, you have to earn that.
But you're Doc.
It always came right to my mind with him to say, "Well, I could offer you a doctorate in our school." Yeah. And I'd say, "No, I didn't earn it." And when it came up this time, I don't know what possessed me, but I've been to Elmhurst quite a few times. Mm-hmm. I have a great fondness for the school itself. And everything it stands for, and they have a marvelous musical program there.
Yeah, they do.
And I thought, well, if I was ever going to do it, this would be the time I would want to do that. And so here I go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations.
I'm going to be my dearest friend, Kathy Leach, with whom I reside on a 365 days a year basis, said, "Well, now you're going to be Dr. Doc."
Yes, you are. Yes, well, you are.
I know you're going for a joke there, but yeah, that's the truth.
It is the truth. And that's this Thursday. And then you're coming back for their festival playing jazz on June 15th. And for tickets on that, you can see Doc again June 15th. You can visit elmhurst.edu.
Yeah, I've done that concert a couple of times.
You have, yeah.
And, you know, my God, it isn't like we're doing rock and roll or have any come-ons like that, like whatever's the hottest thing around at the moment.
Sure.
It's the school jazz band and whomever else they decide to put on the stage, and I remember doing a thing there a couple of years ago. It was just one tune. It was, I can't remember what the occasion was, but when I got through rehearsing with the band, I said, "You know what, guys? I could take you guys on the road with me." And so their wonderful band director said, "Well, we could arrange that."
I wow, said, that's cool.
Serious. Could you really? I mean, get these guys in a bus and do a little tour? He says, "Yeah." I have to get permission from the school, and the school gave us permission, and we went out and did it. Well, I walked out on stage in front of this group of great young players, and I said, after a couple of tunes, I said to the audience, "Something you probably don't know, and it's that this is not a professional band that I hired to come on the road with me. These are the student members of the jazz band at Elmhurst College." And honest, you could hear them gasp. So what? Well, that's
wow.
Great.
Yeah.
And every night, They proved their worth. You know, they were a joy to be around and great young people. And that's kind of what that school is about.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you've, you know, taken time out of your life to showcase them with you. Because your name, obviously, you know, your name, you're Doc Severinsen. So connecting this group of young people.
I didn't take any time out of my life. I was booked already. And I said, this is the band I'm taking with me.
That's great. Oh, that's fantastic.
And
that's great.
I never had one moment of doubt of what it would be like, you know. I mean, and believe me, they were ever been as good as I needed them to be and wanted them to be. And we had a good time, and I wouldn't be surprised to do it again.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. And again, folks, if you want to see Doc while he's in town here in Chicagoland, elmhurst.edu is the place to go. He's June 15th when Doc will be playing with the band as well. So very cool. Doc, I got to tell you, what a pleasure it has been to hang out with you a little bit. You're a legend, man, and it's a thrill for me.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, and I appreciate the time and chance, you know, reminisce a little bit. And, of course, at this time of the year, I'm doing a lot of that. And I just got to tell you one final thing, and it's that as I go through life and I'm challenged in some particular way, I always stop and ask myself, usually about a matter of how should I behave about this or that or some other thing. And I think, okay, what would Johnny Carson do in this situation? And I go by that, and it usually turns out to be right.
Wow.
Until the time I had an appointment with the witch doctor, and then it didn't work too well.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. I like that you channeled Johnny for that, though. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And I will never forget exactly where I was and so forth when I heard about that Sunday morning. It was about 7:30 in the morning, and I was taking a shower, and I heard my wife let a yelp out, and I got out of the shower and said, "What the hell's going on? What was that about?" She says, "Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but Johnny just died." Yeah. And Jeff Sotsing had called to let her know, and my life changed at that moment. I mean, it was not just something that happened and you get over. I'll always remember that as one of the seminal moments in my life.
I think I felt that emotion and saw it in your face. The very next night, I think you were in New York on that Monday, I think, with David Letterman. And Tommy Newsom, and Ed Shaughnessy, and playing that tribute to Johnny on stage. And I remember how emotional, not only that, it was exhausting watching that show, seeing all of you together doing that for Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And now Eddie Shaughnessy and Tommy Newsom are gone.
Yeah.
And kind of makes me wonder, well, does anybody have any idea when it's my turn?
And, hopefully a long time from now, Doc. Hopefully a long time from now.
It could be. It could be. But I don't think about it how long, but how good is the time going to be in the meantime?
That's right.
Great. And that's about the best any of us can do. And I sure do. I appreciate it. Chance to talk to somebody about all of this that we discussed.
Well, it was an honor for me. Thank you. No, thank you for taking
the
time.
Thanks a million.
Absolutely.
I'll
thank you, Doug.
I'll see you on the scene.
Okay, we'll see you in Chicago. Thank you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
All right, it's a salute to Johnny Carson all night long after the news. Renowned Carson biographer and Chicago's own Bill Zamy will join us. And a look at behind the scenes of The Tonight Show with Johnny's nephew, producer, and president now of Carson Entertainment. That's Jeff Sotsing. All coming up next on 720 WGN.
Can you give me whatever you're taking tonight? You want to give me a hit on that, whatever it is?
I can't give you any, but I'll sell you some.